Hi guys, a beautiful morning to you all. Today's Bible reading is taken from 2 Kings 21 and 2 Kings 22. And our memory verse taken from 2 Kings 22 verse 19. You were sorry and humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I said against this city and its people, that this land would be cursed and become desolate. You tore your clothing in despair and wept before me in repentance. And I have indeed heard you, says the Lord. Let's take a few moments to ask the Holy Spirit to open our eyes, open our ears, and open our hearts to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is going to be saying to us today. Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Hephzibah, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord according to the abominations of the nation, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. For he rebuilt the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed. He raised up altars for Baal and made a wooden image as Ahab, king of Israel, had done. And he worshipped all the hosts of heaven and served them. He also built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord had said, "In Jerusalem I will put my name." And he built altars for all the hosts of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. Also, he made his son pass through the fire, practiced soothsaying, used witchcraft, and consulted spiritists and mediums. He did much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. He even set a carved image of Asherah that he had made in the house of which the Lord had said to David and to Solomon his son, "In this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever, and I will not make the feet of Israel wander anymore from the land which I gave their fathers, only if they are careful to do according to all that I have commanded them, and according to all the law that my servant Moses commanded them." But they paid no attention, and Manasseh seduced them to do more evil than the nations whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. And the Lord spoke to his servants, the prophets, saying, "Because Manasseh, king of Judah, has done these abominations, he has acted more wickedly than all the Amorites who were before him, and has also made Judah sin with his idols. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel, behold, I am bringing such calamity upon Jerusalem and Judah, that whoever hears of it, both his ears will tingle. And I will stretch out over Jerusalem the measuring line of Samaria and plummet of the house of Ahab. I will wipe Jerusalem as one wipes a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down. So I will forsake the remnant of my inheritance and deliver them into the hand of their enemies, and they shall become victims of plunder to all their enemies, because they have done evil in my sight and have provoked me to anger since the day their fathers came out of Egypt, even to this day." Moreover, Manasseh shed very much innocent blood till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another, besides his sin by which he made Judah sin, in doing evil in the sight of the Lord. Now, the rest of the acts of Manasseh, all that he did, and the sin that he committed, are they not written in the books of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? So Manasseh rested with his fathers, and was buried in the garden of his own house, in the garden of Uzzah. Then his son Amon reigned in his place. Amon was 22 years old when he became king, and he reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Meshulemeth, the daughter of Aruz of Jotbah. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, as his father Manasseh had done. So he walked in all the ways that his father had walked, and he served the idols that his fathers had served and worshipped him. He forsook the Lord God of his fathers, and did not walk in the way of the Lord. Then the servants of Ammon conspired against him, and killed the king in his own house. But the people of the land executed all those who had conspired against King Ammon. Then the people of the land made his son Josiah king in his place. Now the rest of the acts of Amon, which he did, are they not written in the books of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? And he was buried in his tomb in the garden of Uzzah. Then Josiah his son reigned in his place. In this chapter, we see what became of the next king, the son of King Hezekiah. Remember King Hezekiah, the one who told God that, "God, I have been righteous in your sight. Please give me more years," after God sent prophet Isaiah to tell him that he was about to die. God added 15 more years to him. And we notice that the king after him was 12 years old. That means that he gave it to that child in his bonus years, which was those 15 years in which God gave to him. And he still did not teach this child in the way that he should go. From this child, we saw that this child did not follow the way of the Lord. His grandchild too did not follow the way of the Lord. And then next, his great-grandchild, Josiah, reigned in his place. It is important to instill values and teach your children in the way that they should go. We move on to the next chapter. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jedidiah, the daughter of Adiah of Bozkath. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in all the ways of his father David. He did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Now it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah that the king sent Shaphna, the scribe, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshulam, to the house of the Lord, saying, "Go up to Hilkiah, the high priest, that he may count the money which has been brought into the house of the Lord, which the doorkeepers have gathered from the people. And let them deliver it into the hand of those doing the work, who are the overseers in the house of the Lord. Let them give it to those who are in the house of the Lord doing the work, to repair the damages of the house, to carpenters and builders and masons, and to buy timber and hewn stone to repair the house. However, there need be no accounting made with them of the money delivered into their hand, because they deal faithfully." Then Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphna the scribe, "I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord." And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphna, and he read it. So Shaphna the scribe went to the king, bringing the king word, saying, "Your servants have gathered the money that was found in the house, and have delivered it into the hand of those who do the work, who oversee the house of the Lord." Then Shaphna the scribe showed the king, saying, "Hilkiah the priest has given me a book." And Shaphna read it before the king. Now it happened, when the king heard the words of the book of the law, that he tore his clothes. Then the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam, the son of Shaphna, Achbor the son of Micaiah, Shaphna the scribe, and Asaiah, a servant of the king, saying, "Go, inquire of the Lord for me, for the people and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is aroused against us, because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book to do according to all that is written concerning us." So Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam, Achbor, Shaphna, and Asaiah went to Uda the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tigva, the son of Arsars, keeper of the wardrobe. She dwelt in Jerusalem in the second quarter, and they spoke with her. Then she said to them, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, tell the man who sent you to me, thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring calamity on this place and on its inhabitants, all the words of the book which the king of Judah has read, because they have forsaken me and burnt incense to other gods, that they may provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore, my wrath shall be aroused against this place and shall not be quenched. But as for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord in this manner, you shall speak to him. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, concerning the words which you have heard, because your heart was tender and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that they would become a desolation and a curse, and you tore your clothes and wept before me, I also have heard you, says the Lord. Surely, therefore, I will gather you to your fathers, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace, and your eyes shall not see all the calamity which I will bring on this place. So they brought back word to the king. In this chapter, I finally started to think, why is it that they kept on telling us who the mothers of these children were? They would say the mother of Josiah was this, was Jedidiah, the daughter of this, of this, of this. The difference between the outcome of each child was their mother. Yes, some had fathers that did not walk in the way of the Lord. But then another difference was that they had mothers that taught them in the way of the Lord, or people around them that would teach them in the way of the Lord. For King Josiah, I believe it was his mother, Jedidiah. We see that King Josiah, when he was 8 years old, he became king. And all through his reign, he served God well. And despite the fact that he didn't know the real, the laws of God per se, and all the things that God had said, he still wanted to fix up the temple of the Lord. And while they were fixing up the temple of the Lord, that's when they found out that there were some laws that were given. And then there's actually a curse over the land. And then when God saw that, he found out about the curse and he was devastated. God decided that I will not let this thing happen in his reign. But then again, we see a similarity between him and King Hezekiah. He did not intercede for his sons and his generation unborn. God said, don't worry, I'll give you peace until you get to your grave. And I'll bring this calamity after you die. He could have still interceded and begged God, that God, what can we do to take this away completely? Rather than just keep on passing it to our children's children. How exactly do we do it? This wasn't done. In all we do, let's also learn to be thinking futuristically. Not just futuristically concerning only us, but concerning our unborn generations. What impact, what legend, what difference are we going to make that they would say and speak about until even after your death? Is your worth tied to the amount of money you have? Is your worth tied to how long you live on this earth? Or really how much impact you make while you're alive? And how much impact and promises that hang over you that will transfer to your children and your generation unborn? And this is how we end today's Bible study. I hope you guys have a great day. Feel the inviting the Holy Spirit into your daily activities. I love you. And Jesus loves you even more.